And I'm hoping that Doug makes it back okay. I think he's supposed to be back tomorrow. And Jamie Poe has been sick for about the last 3 days. I did not ask from what, but he's better. Okay. I don't know if it's that parasite that's going around. I don't know. So they're on vacation, and it's not good to be sick when you're on vacation. So our first song selection this evening is 544. 544. Redeemed. Redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed to His infinite mercy. His childless forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His childless forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His coming forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight. Lovingly guarded my footsteps and giveth me song in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child forever I am. Let's turn down to 682. 682. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Great things He has taught us. Great things He hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. If you're able, please stand for prayer. Click. Would you lead us in that, please?
Let us pray. This evening, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You once again thanking You for the blessing of this day,
allowing us to go about our work day and just return here and just study another part of your word. Lord, we're just praying that you just look over all those that are sick throughout the land, those here in this congregation. And Lord, we're just praying that you stop by and touch them, heal them where they hurting, and build them up where they're torn down, and strengthen them where they're weak. Again, Father, Lord, I want to just thank you for just all those that are traveling, praying, Lord, that you give them traveling grace to and from their destination, if it be thy will. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for our leaders, our country, praying, Lord, that they're ruling in such a way that we can always have that free will to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those, Lord, that are just, we're in the storms and the floods and different avenues of disasters around the world. Lord, we're just praying, Lord, that you'll just grant them the things, Lord, that they stand in need of. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those, Lord, just over in foreign countries and just fighting in wars and rumors of wars. I want to pray for Brother Doug as he travels and all those that are traveling, Lord. Again, Father, Lord, just want to pray for the one that's about to come before us and break unto us another part of your word. Praying, Lord, that we'll get the things from it, Lord, that are needed. And again, Father, Lord, want to thank you most of all for your son who came and died for us all, and through his death that we all might have that right to a tree of life. For it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like for you to mark 655. 655. Special request. When you get that mark, 602. 602. Sweet by and by. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father went over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of bliss. And our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessing that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. You may pass to your classes. Thank you.
I believe we left off last Sunday morning with verse about 28, but we're going to start back on 26. We are in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, and we're going to start with verse 6. We've been studying Acts, to let you guys know, on Sunday morning for quite some time. And we're getting to the later part of it. This is the end of Paul's third journey. And he is coming to the end because he's getting ready to be thrown in prison. And so we're going to be studying tonight what leads up to that. We probably might get into the very first part of it, but so I believe everybody might know what we're doing. In the Pew Bible, when you start verse 26, it says, arrested in the temple. Now, it's talking about Paul. So let's read down a few verses here again. I'll read 26, 7, and 8. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce expiration of the days of the purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, in this place, and furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." Does anybody know about the purification that it talks about here in 26 and 27? I've got a reference here and over here. I'm going to read probably both of them here, but the 4 men that he's talking about refers back to the ones that we read about in verse 23. And also, it talks about the sacrifices to be offered at the conclusion of the 7 days. So the purification has a ritual of 7 days, and at the end, they have sacrifices. So, in verse 27, it talks about, again, the 7 days. Jews came from all over the Roman Empire to keep the various feasts. Ephesians was in Asia. So these Jews knew Paul and were happy with him, were not happy with him at all. Now, as we talked last Sunday morning, these people that's not happy with him, this is the same group that's been following him around causing trouble. If you remember, just a few weeks ago, we talked about they had an uprising with some people that had came from far away to get him in trouble, get him thrown in prison. They wanted to kill him. They tried to stone him. And that's who these individuals are in verse 27. Now, the purification, we went over that basically on Sunday. And so I read that little bit there because I had found a little bit more information. We also talked about Paul had traveled some 3,400 miles, suffering countless hardships and extending himself to the limit of human endurance on behalf of the gospel according to Christ. Okay? We talked about that on Sunday. Now, to review, how long does it take to get to 3,400 miles if you're driving in a car today? What's that, James?
2 days for a trip.
3,400 miles?
Probably 600 miles.
varies, doesn't it? And so you could probably drive 3,400 miles in less than 2 weeks, okay? How long was Paul on the missionary journeys? We talked about that.
Over a year.
How many?
Over a year.
It was over several years. I forgot how many Doug quoted the other day. But it was several years. I don't know. It was more than 10. The three missionary journeys, remember, he walked most of the time or took a ship. And it talks about the hardship. Is this the first time that somebody's rose up against him while he's been preaching the gospel for these years? No, he's already been thrown in prison and beaten. He's already been stoned. And so the question I asked Sunday, and I'll ask it again, if you had went through the hardships that Paul had, would you still have your faith that Paul had? I want you to put yourself in Paul's place.
In a day's time?
If you had to be stoned and put in prison and out of prison and back into prison and stoned again, would you keep the faith? Today, we still have Christians that will not renounce their Christianity in other countries and are being beheaded. Now, we know that for a fact because we've seen it on the news, and I hope that's factual, but sometimes that stuff isn't, is it? But put ourselves in Paul's place for a minute. That's what I want us to do tonight. Put ourselves in Paul's place. Think about all the things that Paul went through. Paul is someone to look up to. We talked about him shaving his head. He had made a vow in previous years, and he was still keeping that vow because he had his head shaved. These seven individuals will probably shave their head for a vow for a certain amount of time. That's why I brought that up. And what I'm trying to get at is that you also remember that Paul had a thorn in his side, right? Anybody know what that was?
It doesn't tell us.
It doesn't tell us. That's exactly right. It doesn't tell us what that thorn was. My point is he had issues and problems of his own. And we whine about the little things. Now, we have a lot to be thankful for because of the simple fact that Paul went before us and preached this. And he wrote several books in the Bible for us to read, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit for him to write them, so that we can learn and we don't have to make those mistakes. We got the Old Testament so we can learn what they had to endure in the Old Testament, so we can learn from their mistakes. So here's what my question is. How come we make the same mistakes? I'm not talking about the one being killed when they were killed and because they grabbed a hold of the ark or whatever. All those instances all throughout the Bible, there's things that people done. But there's also things that people done that they were asked or told not to. And they did them anyway. Look at Job. Did he not, let me ask you a question, did he not, when God talked to him, run the other direction? He didn't? You know, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have the written word that we can study. We have example after example after example that we can study. We don't have to make the same mistakes.
We will because we're human and we have free will.
That's correct. But we also have the avenue of a prayer to ask for forgiveness when we learn that we have. Now, let us go. Somebody had to
say he had to buff his body daily lest he should become a castaway.
Say that one more good time, Charles. Thank you, Charles. We'll go ahead and start in 29, where we left off there. For they have previously seen Trophimus and the Ephesians with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Okay, this is an accusation, all right? What did it say? Supposed he took him in the temple. And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together and seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, news came from the commander of the garrison to that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Okay, we're talking about an accusation now, okay? What happens from that? In verse 31, now as they were seeking to kill him, news came from the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem, okay, I'm sorry, that all Jerusalem was in uproar. 32, he immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. He's getting beaten again from an accusation. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried out one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to take into the barracks. And when he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, "Away with him." Now, on Verse 32, the commander of the soldiers, as they stopped beating Paul, he was a local authority. So that's why they stopped beating on him, because of the simple fact they would have been in trouble. Now, they put chains on him. Now he's passed to the commander, the soldiers. And as they took him, they had asked, "What did he do?" And as it says here, everybody was shouting something different. Shouting, saying, "Hey, he done this, he's done that." Which were all accusations to get him thrown into prison, to justify beating him. We never see that today, do we? Yes, we do. We see mobs beating people just because you fill in the blank, because it's most of the time there's no reason for it. But, you know, since he couldn't get out anything out of him to find out actually what he had done, which was Paul, what Paul had done, he started taking back to the barracks. He started taking back so he can control him not being beaten. So when he started taking back, they had reached a staircase and the soldiers had to carry him. The reason they carried him, because they were in fear of somebody killing him. Maybe with a knife or something, that's what it said in the commentaries. But also, it says from the violence of the mob. What reason did the mob have to do with being violent to Paul? We talked about that already. Why did the mob was so violent toward Paul? The truth is, he was teaching Christianity. Okay? And they didn't like it. Remember I told you that some of these individuals had come from far away and they followed Paul from place to place to stir up. We learned that several weeks ago in another mob situation, okay? Now, in verse 36, it says, "Away with him." Do you know anybody else they said the same thing to? It was Christ. Away with him. We don't want him. They chose between a criminal and a murderer versus Christ, and they crucified Christ. Just because he was teaching Christianity. In verse 37, then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek?" He spoke to the commander in Greek. And so he's kind of rhetorical there when he says, you can speak Greek? This gave him the edge because he was speaking this individual's language. And when he did, he stopped. He knew this was an educated man. He wasn't a common criminal, as the crowd was saying. So, since he wasn't a common criminal, the captain allowed him to speak. In verse 38, he says, are you not an Egyptian who some time ago stirred up the rebellion and led 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness? Was Paul an Egyptian? It's not a trick question. Was Paul an Egyptian?
He held Roman citizenship.
He held Roman citizenship.
They didn't know about that right now.
He what?
The guy talking to him didn't know about that.
That's right. He had told him that. Remember the last time we talked several weeks ago that they were going to take him away after being beaten? He said, I am a Roman citizen. That's paraphrased. And they stopped about where they were. They said, you have no case, because Romans had a special let's put it this way. Their standard of criminal had to be a lot higher than the average person. Accusations for a Roman citizen was not going to cut it. Just an accusation. As you can see, accusation started because he thought he was an Egyptian. So, verse 39, but Paul said, I am a Jew from Tarsus, and in, I can't pronounce that other word, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people. That's verse 39. Question. What does a citizen of no mean city mean? I had to look it up. What does that mean? Does anybody know? Well, it says in I'm not saying that's wrong. What it says is that it is indication that he had been granted atonement by the Romans. See that higher standard that we're talking about before you can get accused of something? So he was allowed to go to different cities, metropolises. Partially for educational purposes. This is probably what he did before when he was Saul. But the citizen of no mean city basically means that he had a higher standard than the average person around him because they had to be proven that they were guilty of something before they were punished. You see what happened at first? They were punishing him. And the garrison, this men there were taking him away to punish him, throwing him into prison. You know, in verse 39 it says, I am from Tarsus. Do you think they could put two and two together that's Paul? Just a question. Verse 40. So when he had given them permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in Hebrew, the language same. So he stood there and waved his hand until he stopped. Here's what my question is right now. If they were willing to punish him, they were willing to beat him, probably the next step was to stone him, why do they want to stop now? Why do they want to listen to him? It's something for us to think about. I can see here that God's hand is in this, stopping these individuals so he can speak. Okay? So he can speak. Now, what's amazing is we're talking about, I'm going to say a few thousand people. It doesn't actually tell us, but it was a lot. Have you ever been in a crowd of 200? How hard is it to get them to shut up? It's hard. So we know that God's providence is in this. Now, remember, it was just a gesture. He never said a word. And here's also something that's amazing. A great silence rose over all of them. Silence. They stopped. They stopped talking. They stopped yelling. Now, remember, he just talked Greek. Did he have the ability to talk Hebrew? Yeah, because he was. I mean, that was his native language, right? And he talked to them people in his native language. And so all this leads up to what happens right now that he's going to prison, okay? But he wanted to talk to him first. I borrowed that in Doug's office at the study Bible. I was reading to see if I covered everything. Because I have something else I've been studying from. And so, think about that for a second. Can you not see God's providence in this? Think about it. We have a few minutes left. At the end of each chapter, questionnaires that we're going to fill out, share them with everybody. This is on chapter 21. I haven't passed this one out yet. This is going to be an overview. I did not make the questions up. This came from a study guide back here in the back that we got from some other material. Acts 21, we're going to go all the way back to the first of the chapter. Because we're not going to get done with this tonight, or probably not even the next time. Question one, whom did Paul and his companions find at Tyre?
Disciples.
Why is that important?
Who actually answered that?
Was that you?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason that was important, if remember the last 3 or 4 weeks, everywhere they went, they sought out the disciples. Everywhere they went in the last few times, the disciples knew that they were coming and met with them. How important is that? Think about that for a minute. How important is it that when Paul's coming, that the disciples met with him? Who's the disciples? That's us. Why is that important that the disciples of that time and generation met with Paul? Remember what we talked about a few weeks ago? It was important because they welcomed Paul, they greeted Paul, they furnished him with probably a place to stay, or we also talked about he may have stayed in a tent that he carried, because right before this he gathered up his belongings before he made this trip. So if he's greeted by the disciples, is there an application for us today? We have greeters at the door, don't we? We need to greet everyone that comes in. We need to show them that we want them here. Just for the sake of talking here, a few weeks ago I also mentioned the time that we've been at different places and you didn't get much of a greeting or much interaction with the congregation. Do you feel welcome? No. You don't. And if you don't feel welcome, you are not going to be able to talk to some of them very well because they didn't come to you and talk. I told this a few weeks ago for the sake of some of them that's here today. We had stopped in Owensboro and worshiped over there several weeks ago. And they greeted. They talked to you. They asked how you were, where are you from? And before service started, the preacher had got up there. Might have been before the sermon. But anyway, he got up there and had everybody stand up. And if you haven't talked to the person around you, go and talk to them. Is that important? Remember we talked about how important it is to greet one another. We also have talked about the relationship that we have as coming together as a church. That's important. And if Clayton hadn't spoke to me, that's what you always do before you leave. You always do. Sometimes you make an effort before you leave or I do. That means a lot. Think about that for a minute. We don't want to forsake anybody. And question 2. How long did they tarry in Tyrene? That's chapter 21 now still. We're still in verse 4. I know some of you wasn't involved in this, but how long were they there?
Would it be 7 days?
7 days. Odell, why would that be important?
Because that was the commandment to do so.
Well, not necessarily. They stayed because they wanted to worship with the disciples. They wanted to worship with the congregation. They also wanted to worship, period. got scriptures that we quote and talk about meeting on the first day of the week and how important that is, right? How important was it? This is not the first time that we've talked about this in the book of Acts. He's mentioned this several times. This is just one of the last times he's mentioned it. He stayed 7 days because he wanted to worship and God, first and foremost, and he wanted to worship with the disciples that was there. And we just talked about why that's important. Relationship. Helping each other. Lifting one another up. Number three, why did they, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tell Paul he should not do? What did he tell him not to do? Go to Jerusalem. And we just finished the chapter. Where was he at? Where was he at? Where was he at by the end of the chapter, is what I'm saying. He was there at Tree, but by the end of the chapter, where did he go? James? Oh, but you're again. He went to Jerusalem. This is not the first time that he's been asked not to go to Jerusalem. This is not the only time that the Holy Spirit has asked him not to go. In earlier study, we had talked about that, guys. Now, we're here at Tyree. He found the disciples. He worshiped with the disciples. And question four, what did they do when they arrived at the beach? Who went to the beach? That's in verse 5.
They knelt down and prayed.
They knelt down and prayed. But who all went to the beach? The disciples. The disciples. They were letting him. They were wishing him well. They didn't really want him to go. Because, isn't this, I didn't look it up, but isn't this the instance where they kissed him on the neck and they were crying and stuff like that before he left? I believe it was, but. I cannot pronounce this. Number five, whom did the salute at Tomyros? They greeted the brethren. Okay? We'll start with verse or number six, okay? He's probably still talking. We were talking about tonight the end of Paul's third journey. We was talking about that. And in chapter 21, we was just talking about that also. And we'll start in verse 4, and I'll read a couple of verses. Finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. Number 5. And when he had came to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives, children, till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. We talked about the 7 days. They wanted to worship. They wanted to be with the disciples. They wanted to be with that congregation at that time. And you have a chance tonight to be part of that group. Not the one in the Bible, but what they're talking about, the ones in the Bible. This group right here, this congregation. If you're not a Christian, you have that opportunity tonight. We have water, we can baptize you. The reason it's so important about this group here is that the women and children went as they departed. Big family. These individuals loved Paul. Not only that, we love each other here. If you're not a Christian, we have that opportunity for you tonight. And if you have fallen away or you need prayers of the church, remember there at the very last, they knelt down and prayed on the shore. They knelt down for him probably a safe journey, but we can pray with you and have ask God for forgiveness. We have that opportunity also tonight. If you have any need of this body, of this church tonight, please come forward as you stand and sing, 655.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he gives us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living well in its waters swell, and eternal life they can give. And we'll joyful sing, ever spring, oh spring, as we haste to drink and to live. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Let's not forget that this is our third Sunday coming up. We will have our monthly get together and eat in the basement. So let's not forget about that. Let's not forget about the Millers and Paul and Doug all traveling. They're still traveling. And so keep them in our prayers as they travel. And as they're traveling, Doug should be back tomorrow. So we need to greet him and say, hey, glad you're back. Let's not forget about that. If there anybody wants to, there is still two more baskets out there in the foyer. If you want to take one and deliver that, you can do that. Is there anything I have forgot to mention? I know what that means. David. No. just be safe. David, will you dismiss us?
Sure. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that we're able to be here. It is a privilege and an honor for us to be able to be in your presence and in the presence of one another, encouraging each other with these the words of life that come from your word, the Bible, singing these songs to you and to strengthen one another. And Father, we know there are some that are here tonight. Don's not doing so good tonight. We pray for him to get some relief, and others are not doing so well. We have many that are traveling. We pray, Father, that you continue to be with them and give them grace and strength to come back with us, and hopefully that they've done well in like Doug, that he's done well in his mission work, and that he's spread your word to encourage others, and that others have enjoyed their family times together, and they can come back to us rejuvenated, and we can encourage them. And Father, continue to be through our evangelism program. We have others that are participating in that, Father, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to work in your vineyard and to work in the field of harvest that you have. The redemption of souls, Father, we know is, as Jesus said, he had to be about his Father's work. And we your children, are no different, that we need to be about seeking opportunities to tell others about Jesus to where they can have the same hope that we do. We want all people to be saved because we know that's what you want, Father, too. May the world become a more peaceful place, and we know that can be when we're under the banner of Christ, because differences become a whole lot less when we're in Christ. And help us to see that day, Father, someday in the future. Bless the efforts being put forth by many that keep our congregation going. We're thankful for the effort that's being made to appoint elders, and Father, we pray that you would bless those that are considering that work, and help us, Father, if we do get to elders appointed here, that we who are not in that role can support them, that we can make an elder's job a lot easier, and we can do that by being peaceful and respectful, and they're going to try to guide us in the ways that we should go, and we need to be good followers. So help us, bless us in that effort, Father. It's been a long time coming, and we're looking forward to that. Help us all to, there might be some nervousness about that, Father, about by both the men that might serve and by the congregation here, that we've not had elders. We're not sure exactly how to do, Father, but we know we can trust in you, and we can trust that your word will lead us in the right path, and that we can accomplish much good for your name's honor and glory and bring much more people into your kingdom. Bless us now, Father, as we separate. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So...